Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Jacob Haynes, the Defense Contract Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. Jacob, welcome back to the show. This is a return engagement for you.
Thanks for having us. It's been 2012 since we last spoke.
I know, it's been too long, and I'm glad you guys are back. So we're going to jump off the boat right there and get started right in some older priorities, starting with the status of the Enterprise Integrated Toolset. Tell us what that is, remind us, and then what's the difference this toolset is making for DCMA and DoD contracting officers more broadly?
Well, the original vision of the Enterprise Information Toolset was to have a modular dashboard that would go out and capture the data that our leadership and our individual workforce would use on a day-to-day basis, and they would have a one-touch screen that would be configurable so that that would make their day-to-day mission a lot easier. In some cases, it would actually trigger alerts so that if it were thresholds that certain customers within our domain needed, we could configure that to actually push information or alerts at that point. It's almost like a mini portal, if you will, because it does allow for a person to go in and to configure what exact data they would need to do their day-to-day mission and be able to have this set as almost like a default when they would log on in the morning. So from that perspective and the vision, it has worked extremely well. The EITS has evolved over time, especially the how we acquire the data, because this is really just a rendering tool, if you will, that we're using a series of web services going out to other DoD entities to pull that data so it's fresh data, data that's going back to our e-tools, which are individual tools that help work our day-to-day processes, and more importantly, it links in some cases to our integrated databases, which is the big mother of all databases that drives a lot of our business processes. So from that regard, it is working extremely well, and we're looking at refreshing and meeting some of the new demands as the agency is starting to shift its focus.
All right, so you jumped forward. I was going to ask you where it's going in the future, so before we do that, go back for a second. When we first talked about this almost 4 years ago, it was in a visionary standpoint. You were just getting it started. Now that you are, 3.5 years down the road with it or so, has it met your goals? Is it done more than that? Give me a sense of just the impact it's having from a technology standpoint and then from a user standpoint.
I think it has met and probably in some cases exceeded our goals. I will say, though, as the vision and the mission of the internal commander's mission start to change, we have to make sure that we modify our tools to keep up with those changes and ensure that the data that we render to the tool is as accurate as possible and is timely. So, that becomes more of not a concern, but a challenge to make sure that it's relevant data, because at the end of the day, what we do in DCMA from an IT perspective really is 80% of it is really data provided to make sure that we are passing that data throughout the enterprise and it's timely.
And that's the key piece, is the timely data. So let's look forward now. You talked about refreshing some new demands. Where do you see this tool heading in the next 3, 6, 9 months?
I see it as part of our platform. So we're reorganizing IT to really look at platform and capabilities and delivery. That's how we're managing ourselves. So we're taking proven technologies, and EITS would be one of those. And we're looking at our new requirements coming on board, and we're asking ourselves, if it's a BI requirement, if it's data that needs to be rendered in a visual dashboard, why would we reinvent this every time we have a new demand? We're using our proven capabilities, EITS being one, and we would use that to satisfy those requirements. So from that regard, it really becomes a IT multiplier, because we are now able to shorten our time to market, because this has been tested for environmental testing, if you will. We understand the nuances of its capabilities, and more importantly, from a training perspective, folks understand that tool, and we can just start to expand it as opposed to starting over and over and over again. So from a platform, it is working and will continue to work very well for us.
So in many ways, what you're saying here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you're going to say if somebody has a new request for some, for instance, as you said, business intelligence capabilities, you may say, okay, what capabilities we already have with this EITS platform, and can we just add to it or change something out a little bit, a simple tweak, modification to make it meet their new needs without, again, starting over and getting all these new, going through the whole RFP process and the DevOps development process that's so full of risk. You're trying to really limit your risk.
No, you're spot on in that. And because EITS is a very thin platform in that it's not retaining data itself, it is actually reaching out and just rendering that data from various sources, we are able to make this change very, very fast. So you're right on spot there.
Interesting. Now, you talked about the reorganizing IT. I imagine we'll talk about that in a little bit. So let me jump forward, though, to another older priority, if you will. At the time, DCMA was trying to move to zero client computers. You, I think, were ahead of the game. When I talked to CIOs over the last few years, everybody seems to be moving to thin client, zero client. So did that happen? And if so, tell us about the impact it's having.
It is happening. So it hasn't happened yet. It is happening. And we're actually ahead of where we plan to do. We learned some things along the way. So what we did realize is that, you know, when you talk about VDI, virtual desktop infrastructure, thin client, in a campus environment, meaning that it's one or two buildings, like a lot of agencies are, then it's a very easy thing to do. The infrastructure is right there. It's just a matter of a transport from the device to the back office, the data centers, and there you go. But what we find in DCMA is that we have a different challenge. The fact that we are spread out over 1,022 locations, when we start to incorporate those type of technologies, we have to understand the nuance of the impacts of our infrastructure. So because of that, we had to step back a little bit and make sure that some of the major initiatives we had in place were in step as part of that planning factors. For example, we had to increase our bandwidth in some areas, utilizing and incorporating multi-protocol labeling switching, MPLS, with our partnership with DISA, for example, for that. As we put those things in place, our VDI implementation started to run very smooth. We're actually sitting on 1,542 VDIs in the agency. We had a rest stop around 1,600, and then we would relook how we would look at mobility as an asset and then move to the 2,000 goal. So it's going exceptionally well from our perspective. Now, what is the goodness? The fact that the touch labor requirements that's required for a CPU, the fact that we can minimize our touch labor and do all of that work in the back office at the data center has been tremendous for us. The fact that you could plug and play when someone had to move their device, incredible. Reimaging it takes no time hardly to do. So we see the cost savings from a manpower perspective and how it impacts our lab admins in the field, especially when you start talking about or extrapolate across 1,022 locations and 16,000 CPUs. So it fits into that model, and it is actually giving us a huge benefit from that regard.
You talk about 16,000 CPUs. Do you foresee one day, whether it's a year from now or 5 years from now or longer, that a majority of those 16,000 will be thin clients?
I don't know if that would be the case, because it's other things that's starting to compete with thin clients. And as we develop our mobility strategy, and that's a key thing. You know, mobility is not changing people from a desktop to a laptop, but it's the overall strategy of execution of what makes sense. Because what we're trying to do from an IT perspective is support the business. And one of the things that we want to do is make sure that we can allow folks to be able to work as far forward as possible and only have to come back to brick and mortars when it's absolutely necessary, if that meets their demand, their mission demands. We're working toward that. If VDI fits into that model, then that's perfect. I think we will always have a mix. I think we'll have a mixture of things like tablets at some point that we're testing. I think it will be laptops as a major driver. And it's going to be folks that's going to be at their desk 100% of the time that would benefit just with a regular desktop computer. So it will be a strong mixture, and we just need to manage what makes sense for the business and supporting the business needs and what makes sense from a cost perspective so that we have true IT efficiencies.
You seem to be making a difference between VDI and mobility in the sense that if I log on to my computer network, I'm using a VPN network, I have access to all my files through a secure tunnel, obviously. At the same time, when you use a zero client or a thin client, you're getting that same access, whether you're using a laptop or a desktop or a tablet or a smartphone, What's the difference in your eyes between those two? Because it sounds to me the way you described it is, given the infrastructure size, I know that's a different challenge, 1,000 locations, as you mentioned. But just generally speaking, it seems like everything could move to VDI, no matter, because that makes it even more mobile, because you're logging on through a tablet or a laptop or however you do it.
In some cases, you're right. But let's think about mobility from another perspective. The fact that folks need to be able to truly work off network in places that they have to and then connect back at a later time is something we have to take in consideration as well. So, for example, our back office and utilizing SharePoint, where we're starting to store all that data, is going to be part of that whole mobility strategy. But, you know, the problem with VDI is that, you know, for this to work well, you need to be connected to the network. It is places and sometimes that folks would not be connected. They need to have that ability to work off network and come back.
And when you're talking about those times, it could mean talking about people who are forward deployed in an area where they're trying to do contracting, but there's not a lot of connectivity, or maybe even in a classified setting. Would that be two examples?
Those are two examples, but for us, that would be a very relevant example would be folks that are working in plants, because mobility is going to really be able to enable our quality assurance representatives to go and crawl under tanks and have devices that they need that they can do what they need to do as far forward, as I mentioned, and then come back into a mature network and be able to upload and download the changes. So, you know, those are things that you may not be able to do with VDI because you may be totally disconnected from the network, and we're working through that as part of our overall mobility strategy. So what I'm saying is that it probably will be a need for, you know, all of them. The other part of that is you have to have a very mature network to support VDI. It needs to be sized correctly, and the demands on that network needs to be closely scaled. So that's one of the things that we have to make sure that we've done, because there's a lot of competing resources on the network, things like VTCs. We're expanding VoIP, and that's on that same network. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we do that right. And whether or not it becomes 50, 70% of our overall footprint, we'll do what makes sense. But right now, we're watching and we'll see the value of VDI, and we're going to continue to exploit that as much as we possibly can, as long as it makes sense.
Very good. Now, if you're having people crawl under tanks, you may need to talk to those S&T folks and get some robots to do that for you. That's the next thing.
And, you know, at one point that may be. You know, exactly right.
All right, let's take a quick break. My guest today is Jacob Haynes, the Defense Contract Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Jacob Haynes, the Defense Contract Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jacob, before break, we're talking a lot about some older priorities from the last time we spoke back in 2012. A third one, which you mentioned several times during our conversation, is mobility. Let's delve into that a little deeper. What is DCMA doing around mobility? Smartphones, tablet computers are all the rage now as they were just kind of kicking into gear a couple years back. And what about bring your own device? Where does that fit in for DCMA?
So let me start with the BYOD, bring your own device. We have not broke the code, and that's one of the things that I talk to other DOD CIOs and trying to get lessons learned on how to break that code. But that is something that we would definitely want to capitalize at some point when we think about our overall mobility strategy. I will say to you that we do allow people to use their personal smartphones by enabling them with good technology, which I think is pretty much the industry standard for that. So the numbers are not that high, but we do offer that capability in lieu of a government-issued BlackBerry. So trying to work that, want to see, you know, that whole compensation for the BYOD is the part that we need to understand better and see if we can find a happy medium there. But from a mobility perspective, we have a healthy amount of BlackBerries because, as I mentioned, a majority of our agency is really spread out and, like I said, 1,022 locations. And from those locations, our folks have to move to other locations, and they may work three or four hops before they go back to an office. So part of my mission is to make sure that I enable the workforce to have good, strong communications back and connectivity back to bridge the seamless mission that we do on a day-to-day for DCMA and how it relates to the Department of Defense. Now, how we do that is, again, utilizing, and we're testing tablets now for as part of our mobility strategy. When I first talked to you in 2012, we were primarily a agency of desktops. We now have, you know, over 6,000 laptops. I mentioned the VDIR earlier, and over, you know, 3,000 BlackBerrys. So from a mobility perspective, we're enabling our workforce to be mobile. Now, the mobile strategy and the execution of mobility is two different things. And one of the things that I think all CIOs are really pondering with is it's not just the hardware, but it's the overall strategy of what is it that we're trying to accomplish. And that's when we get into, you know, how we start building our apps to be rendered better on our mobile devices, how much investment we need to do there, how we need to start configuring some of our back office infrastructure to be able to support some of the mobility characteristics that we're doing. And since we've talked, we've actually changed out our base portal, which was BEA, to now SharePoint, and that is now playing huge dividends that, you know, folks now can blog and they can get pretty much everything they need and all of their files from a one-stop shop. So we're working those things to try to look at mobility from a holistic perspective, not just a hardware device strategy.
Let me back up to a few things about mobility and do some follow-up. One of the things when you talk about not broke the code of BYOD, sounds like you're a step in that direction, though, because as you said, some people do have that ability to use their own device given the security software. I imagine you're talking there about a mobile device management software, some sort of way to separate personal from business and protect the data.
Yes, it's segregated so that we would have that security factor there, so that's exactly right.
Now, is it an MDM or is it something else?
No, we're actually using a platform, and what we're doing there is we're using good technology to actually support that piece for us.
All right, very good. Now, I think that's interesting to know because it is that one step towards BYOD. The compensation piece, you're right, is, I think, a challenge for a lot of CIOs I'm hearing. I know, for instance, the Marines are looking at BYOD. So maybe that's something that, you know, we both will be watching as they go forward.
Exactly. Right, and we're learning from that. I think the Department of Energy and maybe other non-DOD entities might be a little bit ahead of us on this one.
And then the other piece of it was when you talk about the back-end infrastructure, and the fact is you have laptops who obviously are connecting through VDI, you have some BlackBerrys that have been out there for quite a while, but a lot of this goes back to, can they access the data, can they access the applications? You talk about the SharePoint. How big of a difference is that making? And is it just the SharePoint, or are you actually going back to specific applications and saying, okay, are they mobile friendly? And if not, are you making them mobile friendly?
All of our applications are mobile friendly, but they're not necessarily designed, rendered for small devices, for example. I don't know if it will ever really make sense for a smartphone to be, you know, the primary device as we move forward, but a tablet definitely could meet that requirement. And as we're building and making sure that the data will be rendered in such a way that it will conform to different devices. So, yes, we're moving in that direction. But we want to step back and make sure that, you know, as we look at every nickel that we invest in IT, we want to do what the business needs us to do and not do it for the sake because IT is capable of doing it. And that really becomes the efficiency of IT. It's not about us. It's about what we can do to make the overall business efficient.
I'm hearing that time and again from CIOs about the customer service piece, the business side. I think that's great. I think that's something else we will touch upon as we continue our conversation. But let me go back to one more thing. You talked about a mobile pilot you're in the middle of. Can you give us some more details on that? Is it iPads? Is it Surface? Is it Android devices? And what are they being used for?
When we talk about mobility, you know, one of the constraints that we put on ourselves is that we started the initiative parallel with the mobility strategy of a single CPU initiative in DCMA. And what that means is that we don't feel we can afford to have a single CPU and multiple devices that support that individual. We were waiting and looking for technology to mature enough that we could have a single CPU that supports that individual. So we want to get to a point where if we have X amount of folks in our workforce, then our CPU count should be X plus maybe 2-4% because we have to have hotel and stations and we have classrooms that we support, things of that nature. That is part of our overall strategy. So sustainability for us means a lot more than just allowing someone to be able to walk out the room and go forward. It's also the efficiency of saying that that is your single CPU. You are configured that way and you move forward. Now, what we're finding is that throughout our lab, Innovation Lab, we're testing tablets that could satisfy that requirement. It can be that single CPU for an individual. It has a docking station that would support dual monitors, a full keyboard, and anything else that you would be able to do with a laptop. And it's CAC enabled. So that's the key pieces there. Now, we're also going through the cost module there to understand that, okay, what is the life cycle of a tablet versus a desktop, a laptop versus a desktop? And take that back to the business and say, okay, this is what it costs to become incorporate this level of mobility into our enterprise. This is where I think your needs are. Let's sort of mesh those together and see what efficiencies really fall out as a value stream proposition, if you will.
So do you foresee moving to that single CPU idea in the next year or so? Or how long is the pilot for? And is it 1,000 people? Is it 100 people?
No, it's not that big. I think we started initially with 50, and then we're going to go back to the senior leadership and say, okay, this is what we see. This is what we understand about the technology. We actually have it downrange and, different aspects of the business and plants and, and airfields and things of that nature, and to come back and look at the pros and cons and let the business drive that decision and not the technology.
Very good. All right. Something probably to follow up with you next time we talk. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some new priorities. My guest today is Jacob Haynes, the Defense Contract Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Jacob Haynes, the Defense Contract Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jacob, before break, we talked a lot about older priorities. Let's jump into some new ones. You mentioned a big one, an IT reorganization, but then there's also probably cloud, big data, cybersecurity, all the big buzzwords. Let us know what you're trying to get done over the next 6 or 9 months.
Okay, well, I got to tell you, one of our top priorities right now, which is not what some people would think is, pure hardcore IT, but it is one of our major priorities, and that is to support the agency's clean audit. So it's the financial improvement audit readiness, and I'm pretty sure that you're very familiar with that. That's something that all of DOD is contending with. Is a huge impact on IT, and we're making sure that this has all the attention that it should have. I mean, when you start talking about the control objectives that's important for fire, you talk about security management of our systems, the access controls, which is huge mission factor for IT, configuration management of all of our IT, our code, all of the things that's moving through our environments, and the segregation of duties is something that we're having to watch very, very close, and contingency planning. What is our contingency plans for COOPs, et cetera, for all of our data? So we actually have to go through our controls. We actually test our controls, and then we actually have CAPs, or corrective action plans, for each one of those controls. And the numbers are very, very high. So that is a major initiative or objective, if you will, for DCMA IT, and it probably takes precedence over most things that we're doing. We're doing other things that's very, very important for us. We're restructuring how we manage our IT portfolio, if you will, and we've actually developed a strategy that's our IT platform architecture, where we took, 88 separate systems that we had within IT, DCMA, and we've actually managed that now through our platform so that they start to make sense from a business perspective, but more importantly, as those platforms mature, very similar to what I talked to earlier about EITS, we're able to now satisfy new requirements by looking at the platforms as opposed to looking at new technologies to satisfy those requirements. So we have now 6 platforms, major platforms that we have looked at from a strategy perspective, and we're going to look at how we can satisfy our future requirements from those platforms and modify those platforms as opposed to going out adding new distinct technologies.
All right, let me back up to the financial management piece. That is a huge, huge issue for all of DOD, as you mentioned. talk about where IT is supporting them a little bit. And you know, audit readiness, you think that's a financial management challenge, but because of the data, because of the systems, you mentioned cybersecurity as part of that, that all becomes now your problem too in many ways.
We are right in the middle of that. You're exactly right. And as a service provider, where we have critical systems that support the other services and other for-profit states, it is critical that we have a clean audit so that they can come in and bounce from us and be able to support their individual audits that they're doing. So, yes, IT plays a tremendous role in the overall fire audit readiness for our auditability.
Does this present a different challenge for you from a CIO's perspective? Because how often do you have to deal with financial management challenges? I mean, a lot of times people can talk to you all day about cyber or talk to you all about big data, but finance is traditionally been kind of pushed to those finance guys. Does it present a workforce challenge for you or a systems challenge?
No, it doesn't. I think if you look at fire as a distinct mission, then as a CIO, you're going to have a lot of problems. What you have to do is from day one, you have to understand how and figure out how you can incorporate those principles of fire. When I mentioned security management, access control, configuration management, all of those things, it should be part of your day-to-day mission. So it may start out as we start going through this audit because, you know, there's folks that come in and we start, you know, dissecting and looking at what we're doing well and what we're not doing so well and coming up with those caps. But at some point, what you really want to do is make that a part of the day-to-day mission and make sure that we have an eye on it, that we have the metrics, and that we have the controls to make sure that we will not have a lapse. And that's what it has to go. We don't think about it as a financial or FB entity. We look at it as this is good IT business.
All right. I know that the financial audit readiness effort is a huge issue. I know something we'll continue to watch. So good luck on that as you guys get closer to the 2017 deadline. Let me move over to the IT portfolio. You mentioned you're developing a strategy, a platform architecture, 88 separate systems that run within DCMA. And now you're trying to manage them differently. Talk a little bit about that effort. Which six systems have you already kind of moved into the new platform and what comes next?
Looking at the major buckets of how we do business, like acquisition insight is really a key factor of what we do within DCMA. In fact, the director of DCMA, General Amasiello, will tell you that one of the key factors for us is that, you know what, we provide global acquisition insight that matters to the Department of Defense and our partners. So we started looking at it in that regard, and we say, you know, the platforms need to be acquisition insight, and we look at those systems that support that. For example, EITS would fall under that. Some of the other systems, access management, for example, and how it supports what I just talked about in fire, and that would be identity management and roles management and permission management, all of those systems that support that from both infrastructure and overall applications will be then managed under those major titles. Personnel management and things that we're doing and supporting the agency and providing the automation so that they can do their day-to-day mission a lot more effective. And then collaboration, for example, and what we're doing with the DCMA 360, which is our messaging and collaboration, is our SharePoint and content management. So, you know, I could go on, and it really supports in how we do our business within DCMA, but more importantly, it just gives us a logical grouping of our applications and a very systematic approach, both from a business and from a technology, and more importantly for me is that once those proven platforms are in place, then as we look at new demands or new requirements coming in, we look across those platforms to see if we can maybe start managing a collage of those platforms to bring the best of breed, to provide a capability. It's a tweak of one of the entities inside of a platform, or do we need to do something to add to the platform to meet that new demand?
Was the goal to get through 88 of them over the next few years, or some of them will, you know, be very specific and may never become a platform, and you may only have, you know, 15 or 20 or X amount of platforms?
No, our goal is to actually be able to consolidate all of those 88 into one of the platforms and start managing that immediately. That is our goal, and that should be complete before this fiscal year is completed.
All right, a lot of work there. One of the other things around this idea of platform management is the business side of it. We've talked about this a little bit. As you said, you know, IT, not for IT's sake, we hear that a lot. How is the business side of DCMA really driving this platform perspective and the move to having these services that support their needs?
As I go to conferences and talk to other CIOs, you know, I feel very, very confident that we're on the right track in our relationship with the business. I think that the relationships between IT and our functional component leaders, IT and our chief operating officer, and of course with the senior leadership from General Masiello, one, we have very clear directions of what we need to do as an agency, our strategic plan, and where IT fits into that to enable that to become a reality. And more importantly, as we look at the eaches, we have that close collaboration and socialization that they understand if we're on track and we are truly, if we're truly meeting the needs of the agency.
Now, are you looking at your organization? You mentioned the reorg of the IT staff earlier in our conversation. Are you changing up your workforce to, for instance, have customer service representatives or mission area representatives to make sure that there's a person with direct line to that mission area so the IT can help them meet their mission versus they throw stuff over the fence and you throw stuff over the fence and you hope it all works out?
We're really trying to refocus our IT organization to, one, align itself with the platforms that I mentioned to you earlier. That is a big change on the front end of IT when we start thinking about requirements and as we support that. The other side of it is as we understand more of our demands, we're really trying to look at how we can make sure that our infrastructure support from our operations to our cybersecurity and other entities within the IT organization meet the new demands and that it's become seamless to our user environment. So that's really what we're doing in the way of reorganization. We want to take our platforms and that platform architecture and make sure that we're aligned to that and make that a reality and ensure that our back office and support of those of that platform strategy actually makes sense.
All right, it sounds good. I know a lot of other CIOs are going down that same path. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can talk about some other things like Better Buying Power 3 and some workforce issues. My guest today is Jacob Haynes, the Defense Contract Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Jacob Haynes, the Defense Contract Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. Now, Jacob, before break, we're talking about some new priorities. You talked about financial management audit readiness. You talked about some platform integration and consolidation, if you will. I want to bring up two other big buzzwords that I hear in the federal IT community, cloud computing and big data. Talk about how those two things kind of fit inside those priorities you talked about.
When we think of cloud computing, not so much cloud of where the data resides, but we also are looking at how we can exploit for efficiencies, you know, HaaS and SaaS, you know, hardware as a service and software as a service. You know, one of the things we're very proud of, we'll look outside first before we start to look internal. We are utilizing Moodle, which is somewhat of a talent management system, open architecture, if you will. And instead of housing that within DCMA, for example, and having to have the infrastructure supported, we actually partnered with OPM, and we use them to actually house that system and actually do all of our training through Moodle on their platform. So if you will, that becomes, you know, a SaaS and a HaaS and really starts to fit the intent of where we want to start looking at from that whole logical service support. So what we're doing then, and we're doing it in other areas, that's just one example of how we're looking at how to streamline our infrastructure, but do what makes sense at the time.
So I've never heard the use of Moodle before. Can you just go quickly? It's an HR tool, but what's it do?
Moodle is more of an out-of-the-box that allows you to manage course content, training content. It actually starts to capture that type of data so that we could manage delivery of that training that we would build internal or snag from other places for our workforce. So it, you know, it's used a lot by, you know, colleges to push their student content. It's what we use now to do the same thing. We actually make sure that all of our content has the same look and feel, delivered through the Moodle platform, and more importantly, we capture that data so we understand what the competency level for our agency looks like. And then what's really the beauty of what we're doing through our platforms, and as we capture that data, any person within our workforce can go into their individual EITS and see what training they have, when the next training is going to be required. So it's pulling all of this together and have one look feel. And Moodle's probably the backbone that's making that a reality.
Very interesting. I'll have to talk to our friends at OPM about that and get more details, because I imagine if you guys are using it and find it valuable, others are too across the government. When you talk about software as a service, hardware as a service, but you talked about not necessarily moving data into the cloud, are you guys using a private cloud or a DISA-DEC, if you will, cloud setup to store some of your data, or is it still kind of in data centers that are run by DCMA?
It's primarily data centers run by DCMA, and we're actually looking at, in concert with the DOD CIO, our strategy for moving to the cloud, and again, you know, what makes sense and when it's going to be the right time for us to start transitioning some of our data over. So, yes, all of the above, but primarily right now, it's DCMA-run data centers. We've actually consolidated our footprint of data centers. We've done, you know, just like everyone else within the DOD space, and we're all virtualized, and we're at three locations for our data centers. So we've done exceptionally there. And so the next logical step, if we had to go to the cloud, it would be much easier to do from three data centers versus, you know, having 40 or 50 dispersed around the country.
So in many ways, you guys have just created your own cloud, because if everything's virtualized, if everything's running just from those three data centers, you kind of have taken that step to the cloud, just a DCMA-run cloud versus a commercial cloud or a hybrid cloud of sorts.
If you will. And again, you know, the whole definition of cloud computing is, you know, we could, you know, you could have a whole show on just that. But yes, I think we're moving in a logical, the intent of our cloud. And like I said, we're starting now more of the SaaS, and we're looking at how we're going to look at our infrastructure as a service, if you will, as part of that cloud strategy at some point.
The other thing about moving to a cloud, or at least bringing it down to three data centers, is business intelligence tools, is data analytics. That's a big, big issue happening across government. You mentioned at the very beginning using some of those platforms. Are you starting to add tools on top of those platforms so people can pull different data sets out to make better decisions?
Yes, we do. And our workhorse right now is Cognos, and it has been for some time. How we use Cognos, because it is starting to expand and get better. Again, it's not so much what it can do, but what does the business need for it to do? And we're managing that as a business intelligence. You know, one of the key things from our director, Lieutenant General Marciello, is when we talk about data, it's not really just data, but we need to evolve from big data to intelligent data. We have some enormous numbers when you start thinking about how much data we have available to DCMA. You know, we have over 2.1 billion database records. It's incredible. But it's not so much big data. It's the intelligent data and what's needed for the business to do their day-to-day mission and what makes sense.
How are you guys ensuring that you are meeting those business needs? Is there a data committee, for lack of a better word, that kind of brings in the business owner and the IT folks?
Well, one of the things that we're doing is we're really emphasizing now enterprise architect. And through our enterprise architect, we're looking at the data architect, the business architect, and the alliance of those two is really making a difference for us. You know, when we talk about DCMA, we talk about acquisition insight. And that acquisition insight, all the data that our folks in the field are capturing from the factory floor to the front lines all around the world, that data has to matter. So what we're doing is we're harnessing that big data capabilities and engineering intelligent data infrastructure that will provide the historical analysis so that we can make those kind of decisions, the procurement needs, for example, of what needs to happen in support from the lowest level all the way to the Pentagon, you know, and things of that nature. So a lot of data, but being able to understand what the data is and that whole metadata strategy all the way up to managing to make sure that the data is relative and accurate is part of that strategy.
All right, very interesting. I like that when we keep talking about enterprise architecture, it's one of those things where got a lot of play in the early 2000s, people got away from it, and now I'm hearing CIOs starting to go back to it, but not in the old way of we got to have an EA, we got to go an as-is to a 2B, but more of the sense of, what do we collect? How does it fit in the business needs? How do we make sure that those two things are equal or at least working well together?
Right. It's imperative that, one, you understand the data, and that's where the metadata comes in important, and you really need to have data scientists. And that's the new term that you're probably hearing now, is that you just can't take a database administrator and think that you have a database strategist. You really need to really have someone to understand what data means and how we can turn data into a strategic value. And from that, the metadata data will be that will help us understand the data of the data. And as we start to do that, we realize then that, boy, we don't have to go out and capture new data. We don't have to. We have that data within our enterprise, within the IDB. How do we capture that data? How do we render that data in real time to support the workforce requirements? It becomes the second challenge. But that's a lot easier once we understand the data and manage it from a big data to intelligent data, as opposed to looking at this pool of 2.1 billion databases, if you will.
We are almost out of time. Before I let you go, let me just ask you about vendors. I know a lot of vendors listen to my show. What should they know about working with your office?
The first thing they should know is that they really will not work with my office. They will be working with our procurement center. We have a world-class procurement center. They do a very good job to get as much information out in a timely manner. We do a lot of RFIs, which should tell you exactly what we're looking for, and that normal logical acquisition process is what we try to follow. So I think we do a good job there. I will say that one thing working with our office is we're really not looking for consultants. We're looking for partners because DCMA has a tremendous mission that IT plays a major role in. And to meet that mission, we really need to have partners and not just consultants. And that's what's happening for us, and we feel good about where we're moving. So I would say, you know, it's a lot of opportunity, and this is an exciting time for our agency. And just watch your normal acquisition headlines, and you'll see where we're going, and just watch for RFI.
All right, very good advice. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Sounds like we could probably talk longer. My guest today was Jacob Haynes, the Defense Contract Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you've been listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Jacob, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.